Hello, everybody. Welcome back to a new episode of Bikini and the Brain. Today is a pretty special episode because this is one day post-Olympia.
Yeah, so it's been quite the journey again this year. We're going to give you a great recap of everything that we did, how the Olympia went, and what I think is most important is go into what do you do when you get done with the show? How do you handle the off-season? What do you eat? How does everything, you know, work? And how do you set yourself up for success for future?
Mm-hmm. A lot of people get really confused after the show. Like, what do I do? Does this mean I can just eat whatever I want for a week? Does this mean I have to reverse diet? Does this mean I have to get back on my chicken and vegetables the next day? And I think that's all going to depend on, one, your personal goals, how you're looking. And I think also, you know, it's really important just to treat your body right at such a sensitive time as well.
Yeah. So I think most importantly, what we need to go into, since he just came off the Olympia world stage, is we need to talk about how it went.
Yeah. So I'm really happy about the package that we brought for this year's Olympia. In comparison to last year's Olympia, I'm smaller and perhaps slightly softer than last year's Olympia. And I really would say that this look was similar to the Denver Mile High show that I had won, which they really did enjoy that look. So tried to bring something similar. I might have came in a little bit tighter than Denver, but I like the way I look because in these past few shows, I kind of had this like issue, like I was almost becoming like too big, I would say. And it sounds so crazy because I know I'm a small statured person, like, I mean, not in height, but kind of like in structure. You know what I'm saying? I'm 5'5". I'm not sure what my weight is, but, you know, in walking around the normal people, I feel so small. But when I'm on stage, even at the Arnold, for example, I felt like bigger, like more buff than the other girls. So I guess like this year we were kind of trying to decrease the muscle size a little bit and most importantly in my lower half, because I've gotten feedback before that my lower half was overpowering my upper half. And I would agree with that. I think, you know, the glutes and hamstrings, they have a mind of their own and they and they're just popping. So, you know, we were really trying to kind of bring up that upper body, slim down the legs a little bit, keep that waist nice and tight, which the waist, by the way, I think is my biggest improvement of this year.
Yeah.
From this show, I'm like, dang, my waist was on point.
Your waistline looked crazy this time.
I wish I had the measuring tape because I was like, oh my God, I want to measure it.
So all in all, everything went really well. And it was a crazy year. This year was very, nerve-wracking. It was very nerve-wracking because there was a lot of new people in the show this year. So we were unsure of exactly what was going to happen. You know, this is one of those things when there's so many new people, kind of no one really even knows where they're going to lie, you know, because there's just people from all over the world competing this time. You know, back in the day, the Olympia was pretty much all United States and bikini. And now it's like 50-50, you know, United States and then all these other countries and all this new talent that might not have competed that much in the United States, so we really don't even know where they stand. So it was definitely like a scary year to see, like, hey, are you going to be even like, are you going to be a first call out? Or are you going to be even like last call out? Because it could easily have gone that way because everyone's so damn good at this show.
Yeah.
And it's like, so we're both like, you know, just we'll see what happens.
And going off of what you said, that was basically how, I guess, what's the word to use? Volatile, right? Like unpredictable.
Super volatile.
Yeah. Like, for example, even girls in the top call out of this year's Olympia, some of them like placed, I want to say, even as low as like fifth or sixth at a local show.
Yeah.
If I'm correct.
Yeah.
And it's so crazy to think that a girl that could place, you know, anything other than number one at a smaller IFBB Pro League show can now like, you know, get in the top call out. It just shows you like if you are slightly off your game, like you can get pushed down, or if they like prefer another look, it's just so, you just never know.
Yeah.
It's like almost like you have to try your best, come in with what you think is your best, but at the end of the day, like it's so unpredictable anyway, but yeah. That's how it is. That's how bikini is. And I kind of think it's in some aspect, it's a little exciting, I guess, because it's like, oh, you never know. Is it going to be your day? Is it going to be somebody else's day? And it always keeps you on your toes for sure, especially I'm sure for like the viewers. That's like, oh, wow, this person won and then that and then they got that place and this. I think it's kind of cool. And it's definitely different, I would say, than years before. I feel like when I was competing years before, just because the talent pool wasn't as deep, that it was a little more, I guess, consistent and predictable, because it's like, oh, yeah, this person's obviously really, really good and, you know, there isn't anybody else that's close or whatever. But now it's like so many girls are like perfect, you know? It's like, how do you even judge?
It's really hard. Yeah, it's crazy when you see, I mean, you can literally pick the person number 25 as first too and make an argument for that. She has the best, like, you know, bikini physique this year. So
I agree.
It's just crazy. So you got to have fun with it. And I think that's what's really important too about today's podcast is like, when you have Ashley, we get a lot of like weird feedback too, like, oh, you didn't win. How do you feel? And we're like, what do you mean? Like, it's bikini. Yeah. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, it's like, you did the best that you can. She looked awesome. She's number 6 in the world right now.
Yes. And by one point, that's how close it was. Yeah.
I knew it was going to be
close. I got
close.
The scorecard. Yeah.
And yeah. And so, and that's because you and Jennifer have been kind of going back and forth. And I don't even think in Vancouver last year it was a clean sweep, right? Or was it?
I got a perfect score in Vancouver.
Oh, you did get it. Okay. So it's been, you know, she's been climbing. She's been doing really good. And it's kind of like she's kind of like a mini Ashley too. Like, they look similar in pictures sometimes. Uh-huh. And it's like, it's hard sometimes in the pictures, like if you're just scrolling through Instagram, to like tell them apart.
Right. She looks different now though with the hair.
With her hair,
And she actually brought a different package too. I thought she looked flawless. So just so you guys know, we're referring to the girl that beat me by a point. She got 5th. I got 6th. Yeah, she definitely brought it. Yeah. I even congratulated her backstage. I was like, this is the best you've ever looked. So she nailed her prep this time. She is definitely one with potential. And I would say, like, I guess as soon as she finds, like, the look or the techniques that work for her, because she has been known to be inconsistent, I guess, but when she's on like she was last night, she looks flawless. She's amazing.
And that's what it is. You know, it takes, and that's what like people that are listening, it takes a few preps to really, really hone it in.
Mm-hmm.
Like quite a few preps to really like nail what it is that works for you, what the judges like from you, what they want to see. So that's a good thing. And it's a perfect example. She's climbed up the ranks and she's improved her physique over the years.
I still can't believe she's not. This is a perfect example for what I was just saying. She has not won a local IFBB pro show yet.
That's crazy.
That is crazy that you can be number 5 and then not win a show. But I hope she does next year. She definitely could.
Oh yeah.
For sure.
Easily. So now going into the show, you know, we kind of talked about what everything that we did during the Peak Week podcast, and you guys can listen back on that if you want to hear about some of the techniques we did. But we made some really big, like, very minor changes to the diet, but really big changes to the physique over the last, you know, 7 days. You know, we talked about her going into her more tapered look, and from Monday till Saturday, you know, everything just looked a lot more of like that more petite bikini package that they've tend to been going with as a more popular package, because it actually was so overpowering. So it was really successful prep. I'm really happy with how things went. You know, I think, it was, and they said they liked Denver the best. I think this was the best Denver, like the best package that you could have brought close to that with more symmetry. So
I agree. Cool. Yeah. I have not gotten any judges' feedback from the show yet, because literally it's like the morning after, literally. But just coming from your expert eye, Adam, what is it that you think that they're going to say, or what do you see in your opinion that I can work on for my next prep? Just, you know, minor little tweaks here and there. It could be anything. It could be physique. It could be presentation. It could be hair, makeup, tan, suit. What do you think?
I think, well, we know that the hair went a little bit flat in the morning.
I think that was flat hair.
Yeah, it went flat. In Vegas, that's always like, it's notorious because it's so dry out here.
And I try to like puff it up so much before I literally come backstage with a comb, like doing that, and it still went flat.
And then as far as like, if we're looking at, you know, perfection, I think that there's still a little bit more room in that upper body to lower body balance.
I agree.
Shoulders and arms, And I think that we need to master your softer look, because you're in your waistline still, uh-huh. with a little bit, just a tiny bit more detail still in yes. the in the legs and the glute tie-in, but still with the amount of body fat you have now, you mm-hmm. know, so that's going to be a tricky thing, because with you it's about balancing the body fat and the abs, because yeah. like if your body fat gets too low, your abs get too crazy.
Yeah, I think were, you know what, looking back, they were a little crispy, the yeah. abs, which and, by the way, haven't trained in 2 years.
Yeah, so it's for you, it's about that balance, right? Can yeah. we actually make your, this season, can we make your shoulders pop a little more? Mm-hmm. Can we make your glutes tie in pop a little more without having any more glute, like size? You don't need any more size. Mm-hmm. It might become too much. While actually having just slightly more body fat so your abs don't pop as much. That would be like, if we can mm-hmm. come up with the perfect recipe for that, that'd be great. That's pretty difficult to do yeah. that, yes. But
at the same time, it's so funny because anytime you go into a prep, it's like different things will show more and then some places will be softer. Like I've had yeah. preps where it's like, oh, wow, like my glutes are so crispy right now and so lean, but my lower back is just like soft, or vice versa. Or, wow, my upper body is really lean right now and my legs are soft. So it's so funny how the body is like, you know, kind of fluctuating and always changing. And for every prep, it seems like there's a different problem area, like, oh yeah, this is the last place to lose fat or whatever. But I will say, in general, I think the last place to lose fat is my tie-in area or my thighs. But I was able to accomplish that last night. And yeah, I totally agree with what you say. And I think the biggest thing I need to work on, coming from my point of view, is my upper body still. You know, I think when I got a little flat on the upper body. My arms are a little more popping, I feel like, maybe last week. But, you know, when you take away the body fat and all that, it's kind of like, well, there goes your arms. But, you know, I think I need to pump up better, too. I didn't really have a great opportunity to pump up backstage. But, you know, it's like, you know, live and learn. I'm not saying that's like the reason why I didn't you know, place high or anything. But I'm just, I guess, being critical of myself and realizing and taking a step back, like, what is it do I need to fix? I'm definitely not one of those people that's like, oh, I should have done better. This is bullcrap. No. The judges did a great job, and I was very satisfied with the placements, and especially looking at all the other girls. And, 1 through 5, it's like, yep, this is basically where I would be, you know? And I don't have any argument against that at all. I'm actually quite happy with the judging.
Yeah, it was actually, you know, pretty decent this year. Mm-hmm. So now, going into your off season, there's a lot of girls that'll do a show and go into their off season. What are some of the tips that you do, because you stay pretty lean all year, uh-huh. which I completely think is the way to do it.
Yeah.
What are some of the tips that you do after a show that maybe mm-hmm. some of the people were kind of struggling with?
You know, I think it's important to realize, like, it can be a very slippery slope, right?
Yeah.
So I think it's safe to say almost all of us have a cheat meal after a show. You know, you're hungry, you earned it. And then some girls will take that cheat meal and be like, okay, yep, and then tomorrow too. And then they'll be like, well, you know what, might as well just take this whole week, you know? And then a week turns into 2 weeks, and then 2 weeks turns into a month of cheat meals every day. Do you know what I'm saying? I mean, for me personally, what I like to do is I'll have a cheat meal after the show. The next day, I will have some things that I haven't had in a while. I'm not going to have like a milkshake or multiple cheat meals. I might have another one. Maybe some snacks. I'm a snacker, by the way. I'm not really one that's like, I'm going to have this huge buffet, this huge meal. I actually hate that feeling of being full, like completely full. I hate being bloated. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I hate that. So I will nibble here and there. I mean, even last night I had burger, fries. I had, I want to say, a donut and a half, a cupcake, and this like protein popcorn thing, which had sugar in it. So that was like my treats, I guess. And this morning I had a little other half of that donut. And I don't really have a desire like, oh my God, I need to eat a whole bunch of food. So, you know, I'm keeping myself in check a little bit because, for one, I hate the feeling of being bloated. I hate it, you know. I think it's a very uncomfortable feeling. I want to be able to, like, have a flat stomach. And that's my personal preference. I just hate that feeling. And then also, it's like, you know, I worked so hard for this body. I worked so hard. I got to treat my body right. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I don't want to damage my body. I don't want to harm it. You know, I want to be like, you know what, body? You've been great to me. You did a good job. I want to give you a few treats, but I'm not going to abuse that.
Yeah. And so let's go into that a little bit and the off seasons and rebounds and, like, you know, what the best plan of attack is. I think that's important to discuss because that's, I would say that's where people mess up the most. And it's almost like become a rite of passage to, like, go in and do a show and look ripped and then gain back a bunch of weight and then be like, okay, now I won't do that again.
Yeah.
It's almost like everyone goes through it. And it's so unfortunate because nobody needs to go through it ever, you know? And so it's sad because it's just like kind of like culturally like a thing that is like accepted in competing. It's like, oh, you're going to do it once. You're going to gain back a bunch of weight one time because it's just so hard to control, you know, putting food inside of you for a while. So, but it's what I've seen is it wreaks havoc on people in terms of their confidence, with their happiness in the gym. And there's just so many ways around it. And so going into the off season, I think this is where people really make the mistake. And we've kind of gone into it just a little bit in previous podcasts where we talk about how to come out of a diet correctly and how you go into maintenance calories right away and you don't prolong the diet. So here's where people kind of make the biggest mistake. You'll do your show, you'll look awesome when you do a show, and then a month later, you know, you gained back 15 pounds, you know, something around that number is pretty common for a female and sometimes 20 for a male. And you're sitting there and you're like, man, I got to get back in shape. It was awesome to have abs, but your body has not fully recovered from the show yet. You know, you might feel good. Your muscles are recovered. Everything like that's fine. But metabolically and hormonally, you're not recovered yet. So your body's still in that adapted state because you were dieting so hard for 16, 20 weeks, you know, 24 weeks. So, but then you ate, you know, for like a month and you're like, okay, now my body's like metabolism is repaired and my hormones are back to where they were and everything's good. So you're like, you just start dieting again because you want to get that new weight off of you again. And now you do it again. You diet real hard and you lower your metabolism again. And it just keeps repeating, and you never get your metabolism like fully up to full speed. We never reach what we call metabolic capacity. So metabolic capacity is essentially like the rate at which your body kind of burns its most calories, like its optimal highest, like if it was a car, the fastest the car could go, basically in simple form. So, and that's what we want to reach for everyone. The problem is that if you're gaining back weight and you're constantly fighting that weight gain that you just had, you're never going to give your body the opportunity to do so. You know, you will do some correction by just eating more. You'll actually correct the metabolism and hormones just a little bit when you're just eating more, because that's actually the method of doing that, but not for short periods of time and then dieting. Like, you can't have like bad meals three times a week and then diet hard four times a week and expect your metabolism to be fixed. And that's what happens a lot of times. And then people get in this like cyclical repeating, you know, of gaining back, losing weight, gaining back, losing weight. And so the key is I think what Ashley's talking about is recognizing it, not going too crazy with it, and having some balance with it, you know? So I think the other key is too, is that you have two sides of it. You have the people who gain back a ton of weight right away. They rebound hard and then they like diet really, really hard to try to get it off. And then you have the other people who are so afraid to eat after a show that they will gain back weight.
Oh.
And that one, I think, is probably even worse because you're just prolonging the diet and you're never going to get recovered. And then these are the people that come to me 3 years down the road because they can't lean out for shows anymore.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, that's because you've been severely adapted to this diet that you've been on for 3 years. And I'm like, I'm not on a diet. I eat 1,400 calories a day. And I'm like, 1,400 calories a day is a diet.
Yeah, that's pretty low.
That's like the last month of prep or even maybe not. Some people don't even reach that lower, that level.
I don't even think I reached that.
That's pretty low. Yeah, it's pretty. But I'll have people live there. And then they're like, oh, I want to start prepping for a show. And I'm like, how? Where can we go from 1,400?
Yeah.
You know, like
can we imagine we can
go to like 12 and then that's it. Where do you want to go from there? Like, you know, so that's the problem is you do have to go through that correctional dieting, which is right after a show. Just so you guys get this and listen to this really clearly, if you go to maintenance calories right after a show, you will not gain weight. Maintenance calories is for maintenance. It's for maintaining your body. You might fill out, everyone's going to be a little bit glucose depleted after a show, and they'll fill out a little bit, and you'll store some carbs and maybe a little bit of water retention, and you might gain a couple pounds from just eating a little bit more food, but it's not going to be like body fat if it's maintenance calories. Only when you go over maintenance. So at minimum, you should be at maintenance calories after a show. And there's a bunch of formulas for figuring that out. You can always look it up online. I did a video on it a while back too. It's called the Harris-Benedict equation. If you want to kind of look it up, you can just type it in Google, and you can just type your numbers in, like your weight and your height and that type of stuff, and it'll give you a good estimate of that. So anyway, how are you, like you've been kind of a, I guess, an expert at this mm-hmm. point of managing your off season. Mm-hmm. You've stayed lean. You've eaten your calories.
Yes.
What's the key to success for you on that?
Well, I was definitely one of those people that would be in the early days when I first started competing. I was one of those people that's like, okay, my season's over, so I can have whatever I want until I have to start prepping for my next show, which, you know, could have been like 6 months from now. So I would fluctuate. And, if you guys have been following my journey, at one point I got to 145 when I took a year off, which, I mean, for the average person isn't like a lot. It's not like I'm saying 145 is bad. Please don't get that impression. But for me, that's like a super athletic girl that's been pretty lean and stealth my whole life. I'm used to being like maybe 126 in my off season or whatever. And then, yeah, I gotten up to 145, which was pretty heavy for me personally. I went through some thyroid issues and stuff, and I have whole videos on that. So that's a whole nother podcast itself. But, you know, I think once I reached that point, I'm like, that is never going to happen again. That was so hard to get off. Oh my goodness.
That's brutal.
That was brutal. My goodness. If you think of it like this, I mean, how much work do you have to do to actually burn like an actual pound of fat? Yeah. Actual fat. It's a lot of work, man. It's no joke. But I think over these years, I just really want to treat my body right, you know? And I can slowly ease into things, but I don't go crazy. I hate that feeling as well. Like, you almost feel sick if you have too much sugar or something. And I try to kind of keep within, like, what is it, 5 to 8 pounds or whatever.
Yeah.
Probably more on the 8 pound side of my stage weight when I'm in the off season. And I do love to compete. So I keep that in mind as well. Like, okay, well, if I'm thinking in the future I have to prep for my next show, I don't want it to be so difficult. But it just, like, I think it comes along with, like, becoming wiser and the whole, like, I'm really big on, like, I want to treat my body right, you know? It's done amazing, and I love the work I put in and how it looks, and I don't want to ruin it. But at the same time, I'm not, like, one of those people, like you said, that's like, oh, I have to be, like, stage ready every single day of the year. Like, yeah. No, it's still going to take me some time to prep. We still do 12-week preps, you know? And we do it very slowly, so it's not, like, very drastic. And I just kind of keep my future in mind as far as my body, because I don't want to be one of those girls that, like, you know, isn't able to lose weight or anything like that when I go to prep. And I love the techniques that you use as far as, like, coming off of a show, and even for those that are like, you know, I'm not really off season, but I'm not really prepping for a show. I will say this. Usually what happens is, like, for a week, I don't go to the gym. I might do some, like, active recovery stuff. Like, yeah. Okay, I'll go on a hike and stuff, but it's not like, oh, yeah, I got to do cardio for an hour or anything like that. No. I'm taking, like, a little bit off, but depending on when my next show is, by the way. Like, if my next show is in, like, 3 weeks, you know, it might be a few days off from the gym, but I'm definitely not one of those people that, you know, go right to the cardio machine in the morning after a show. I don't even know how I could do that right now. I'm like so tired. But at the same time, you know, I might be consuming foods that I haven't had in a while, but they all kind of equal what my maintenance calories would be. So I'm not really going to eat like chicken and broccoli right now for the next few days. I might have like, okay, a chicken wrap or a steak wrap or something that, you know, maybe I haven't had, but in moderation. It's not like I'm going crazy. I'm still eating, I guess, somewhat healthy, but having little things that maybe I missed from prepping that I wasn't able to eat.
Yeah, they call it like an 80-20 diet. It's like 80% clean, 20% you know, here and there and stuff with the eyeball, right, the last week. So, and I think that that's healthy for people too. You know, for as far as like coaching goes with that week, it's kind of like you just start fresh again the following week because you can't really use that data because there's the calories are kind of all over the place. But I think for the mental break that it's huge. And I try to have everyone go through a deload like after they do a show. So most of the people that I work with are like, obviously, we're all like kind of obsessed with this stuff or we wouldn't be doing shows. So most of the people I work with are kind of obsessed and they're in their younger part of their career. And so they're like, oh, I got to get to the gym the next week. Like I have to work out. And so I give them like we call a deload workout where they only work out like 3 or 4 times a week that week. And I think that it's really healthy for people just to take the week off. You're not going to lose. Like people think they're just going to lose muscle like crazy. It takes a while for you guys to lose muscle. Like if you're on vacation for a weekend and you're going to LA and it's like super inconvenient for you to work out and you're not in prep, like it's okay to just take the weekend off. Like you're not going to look different on Monday. Your muscles are still going to be there, I promise. Mm-hmm. So you know, Ashley takes a week off. I mean, after the Arnold, we were like, okay, you're getting a little too muscular. And that was the only time she lost muscle because it was on purpose. Like we were trying to lose muscle. And that was, I want to say, what was it like, how many weeks off from actual lifting besides your shoulders?
Oh gosh, I'm not sure. Yeah, I can't remember.
Honestly, like 3 to 5 weeks or something.
Yeah. And look, I still, it really took a lot to kind of slim them down. I still did like some cardio here and there, but like, I wasn't lifting like I was.
Yeah. We were at a point where we were trying to cardio off some muscles at some point. We were like, let's just do cardio and see what if we can get your legs smaller and things like that. So it was a whole process. So, and even then it was hard to lose muscle. So don't worry about that if you're going to, but you feel great when you get back in the gym after you take some time off. Like you just can't wait to just crush weights.
Yeah.
And I think that's more important than anything. Like if you're having great workouts and you took a week off, it's better than having 4 weeks that month of crappy workouts than having 3 weeks of good workouts. So just give yourself a break if you feel like you need it, but don't go too crazy in the diet with how much weight you're gaining and do weigh yourself and do look at yourself and take measurements. You know, Ashley doesn't, but we have her so fine-tuned at this point, it's like, it's kind of irrelevant. You know, it's like she's going to be a maximum of 6 to 8% above her stage weight. And it's pretty obvious and we always stay pretty close on that. And if she gets a little soft, we keep it in check.
Yep. So, I usually send him check-ins every Monday. So we don't necessarily need a scale, but it's good to have that accountability. Like, okay, you know, even though I'm, you know, 12 weeks out, I'm going to send you a video every Monday just in case to see where I'm at. Or even if I don't necessarily have a show in mind, it's good to like have some accountability. So it's not just like, oh yeah, I'm in hiding and you know, so you can like be like, you know what, Ashley, maybe we need to cut back or whatever, but that hasn't happened. But I'm just saying like maybe a good tip for you guys so you don't get too out of control is if you have a coach, you know, maybe send some updates, even if you are off season. I think that's very helpful so that, you know, not only are you kind of seeing what you look like, but your coach, because sometimes our views of ourselves can be a little bit distorted, especially since, oh, you know, we're used to seeing those stage abs and we're lean and that's our vision of ourselves. And when we don't look that way, we get sometimes like, wow, I'm fat or I feel so puffy. And in just reality, it's like, no, you're just off season, you know, it's typical. But I kind of want to ask you something, Adam, because a lot of girls, especially the ones starting out, get a little thrown off by this. So let's say somebody goes and has a cheat meal and they have some sweets after the show and they haven't had it in a while. And the next morning, their abs are like gone. Okay. And they're freaking out. They're like, what happened? How did I gain this weight so fast? I ruined myself. Oh, my God. Can you explain what that is? Because I'm sure most of you know it's not fat, but some of you might not know this, and I think it's super important because a lot of people can freak out over it.
Yeah, this is a pretty common thing.
It happened to me after the Arnold a little bit. I was like, where are my abs? And you put up a poster on the pole.
Yeah, that's so funny. We're going to put a wanted ab up. Have you seen Ashley's abs poster up? Well, like Lost Dog, we put Lost Abs up. It was so funny. So let's break it down, like, I guess a little bit more in detail of what it takes to gain weight. So if you are, so in 1 pound of body fat, it's 3,500 calories. Most people have heard that before. So if you eat 3,500 calories, you still wouldn't gain 1 pound of fat. So the odds of you eating that much in one meal, like let's say you went out and had a crazy cheat meal, like after a show, you probably still didn't eat 3,500 calories like in that meal. You probably would eat like, you know, 2,000, 2,500. I mean, you'd have to go pretty crazy to get to the upper 3,000 range, mm-hmm, right?
Yeah.
But on top of...
I don't think that would fit.
It's a lot of food. Yeah, it's a lot of food. I mean, you have to do really calorie dense foods to get that. But on top of that, it's not 3,500 calories you have to consume. It's 3,500 calories you have to consume more than you burned that day to actually gain just 1 pound. So you just living and walking around like a female who's like a bikini competitor size would probably be burning, just sitting there, around like 1,500 calories, just sitting there. So that now means you'd have to eat, from 3,500, you'd have to eat 5,000 calories more to just get there. But that doesn't include your walking around all day, your all that stuff. So that's probably gonna be closer to like 2,000 on like a show day, because you're kind of sitting there a lot, so you're not burning too many calories. So now it goes from, you know, you're eating, so you're burning 2,000 calories the whole day with your body moving around and your resting metabolic rate, and then you'd have to eat 3,500 calories on top of that. So that means you need to eat 5,500 calories total just to gain 1 pound of fat. And 1 pound of fat wouldn't hide your abs that much. So just so you know, it's really hard to do that, to like gain back, you know, 3 pounds, 4 pounds, like in one night after a show in terms of body fat. You can gain back 3-4 pounds of weight, no problem. But body fat, totally different. So just make sure that you defer, like you can kind of tell the difference between those two. Because it's gonna take, if you gain 10 pounds of weight, that'd be 35,000 calories extra than you burn to store. So a lot of the stuff that you gain, a lot of the weight that you gain, isn't body fat. It's just not possible. But a lot of it is, you know, water retention from you not eating these foods before. Like you've been eating clean, which is like indirectly you're lowering a lot of different things. You're lowering your sodium, you're not having any gluten. You're eating just foods that are really easy to digest for the most part, and it's not causing your body any like distress. And then all of a sudden, after 4 months of not eating anything at all, you just have this huge influx of like foods that your body's just not good at digesting in the first place, even when it's running optimally. But when it's in its most sensitive state, you have these foods, and that causes severe water retention. It causes, you know, some intestinal distress, which can cause some bloating. So your waist gets real, like an inch bigger overnight, and you're like, oh my gosh, I'm visually softer because of like the water retention. And then now I can actually see visually my waist is bigger too. So you start thinking that it's body fat, but that's just not the case. You digest the food, clean it up a little bit, it'll go away pretty quickly. Some of the things you can do, like if you're having that issue. So one of them is water retention, but then when you get to like the point where it's like dangerous, where you're having severe water retention, and that, you know, that could actually like raise your blood pressure, and it could cause you some harm, you know. But it's really about just monitoring like your blood pressure if it gets so crazy. And the things you could do for that really is just drink a lot of water. If you are having like a lot of water retention where it's bad, you can even just start drinking like dandelion tea, which helps with, it's a diuretic. And then a sauna helps a lot too. So if you're freaking out and you gain all this water weight back, like you do a sauna.
Does asparagus work as well? I've heard asparagus as a natural diuretic.
I don't know really where that kind of like came from.
Is it because people smell their pee?
I think it must be. Because it's not like it's nothing like having like Uva Ursi or dandelion or anything like that. It's nowhere on the level of
if
that.
If you picked dandelions in your backyard and ate them, would you also have the same effect?
If it's dandelion, if it was the root, probably, because it's dandelion root.
We don't suggest.
Because they said it's dandelion root where it comes from. Yeah. It would have to have some, right? That's so funny. Yeah.
That was really corny. I'm sorry. My jokes are not on point. We're tired after the show.
Yeah. We were both tired with this one. But so with you guys going post-show, I like to say 6 to 8% above your stage weight. Ideally 6, because it's easier to go from show to show. Now, the one thing is you've accomplished this really cool thing. You've done a show and you got there and it's like so great, you know, but you got to remember like what it cost to get there. And that's, you know, your metabolic rate's more adapted. Your body's very tired. Hormonally, you might not be the same. Like your output levels might be a little bit lower on a couple different things. And you got to get those things normalized. So you are likely to gain back body fat faster now than you were when you started the prep because of all those different changes. So you do have to go through that correctional process, but you don't have to, you know, get fat doing it. And that, I think that just comes down to just monitoring your food and doing it the right way. Now, if you want to do this for real, and I've had a few people say, I just want to do this like one time, and they're not trying to go pro and that type of thing. But I have a lot of people that just want to like push it. Even if they don't want to go pro, they want to like get to be their best. Well, you have to understand that when you go through your very first prep, that's like your transformation prep. And that's what I call it. It's like your transformation prep. Now you got there. Okay. But then you can go one of two ways. You can go and build off of that physique and now start improving that physique from show to show and start getting better placings and better placings. And you look at who we just talked about, Jennifer Dory, who, you know, has worked her way up and worked her way up and worked her way up and now just cracked into the top five. Well, she's done really, really well and pretty decent in the off season too, to like make those improvements and go from show to show and make improvements. Now, you can have people that do that and kind of keep climbing the ranks, or you can have the people that are just transformation clients permanently their whole life, because they'll do a show and then they'll gain back 20 pounds. And then all they're trying to do is go back to their last physique. And we call them physique chasers. And all they do is they just chase the last physique and they never make improvements. And so, and then after, you know, 2 years, 3 years of that, as they're not improving, they're like, oh, I hate bikini. You know, it's the judges and this and that. And I'm like, no, you've presented the same package 10 times.
Like, yep.
So of course you're not pro, because every time you do a show, you gain back a ton of weight. And then you're just trying to get that weight off. Of course you're not a pro. You're not acting like a pro, you know? So the thing is, if you want to really make those changes and get to the next level, you should get to your stage. You get to the best that you can for the show, you know, be really smart in the off season, and then start your next prep at a lower body fat level, like close to where you were on stage, within, you know, 6% or so, whatever. That way your next prep goes even better than the last one. And then you do it again and you do it again, and you just kind of building off of this physique versus going backwards so far where it's like you're just trying to play catch up and get back to where you were. And that's where you see the difference of people who make it and people who don't. And so that, I think this is like such a critical time for everyone post show. And it's just something to take into account. Like what you really want from this is going to dictate your actions.
Mm, very well said. And while we're somewhat on the topic, I think it's important, and you kind of touched on it a little bit as well. I think it's important to tell the people, especially in bikini, like you don't have to do bulking season.
Oh,
like I mean, I used to do that too, man. When I first started bikini, I was like, yeah, I'm small. I need to put on a lot of fat in order to build muscle, because the muscle needs the fat to grow. And that was like my mindset. So it's so crazy, because I would like purposely like try to eat a lot.
Yeah.
And I mean, gosh, I wish I knew what I knew now. That is very counterproductive. But a lot of people still think this way, that they need to bulk, these bikini competitors.
Yeah, it's it's just such a like a non-science-based old school method of like just destroying people, you know. And it, like, nobody's confident when they're bulking. You know, they're like, you can have abs all year and still make progress. And I think the problem is one is the old school methods. And you know, the back then there wasn't any research. There wasn't all this stuff that we have available to us. They didn't have Google. And so, but some of these methods are still being carried over to today. Mm-hmm. And people are bulking like crazy. I'm like, I just don't understand it, because there's never been a pound of fat that you gained that equaled you gaining more muscle. It was just you gaining more body fat. That's it. There's no benefit to gaining body fat in terms of you building muscle whatsoever. Now, you do need to be in a caloric surplus to gain some muscle, but not a lot, because we're overestimating how much weight we need to gain in order to gain and make progress. So I think that's the important thing to discuss, is the amount of actual skeletal muscle you can put on your body, you know. And the problem is, I'll have like a 5 foot nothing bikini competitor trying to gain 1.5 pounds a week because they want to put on muscle. They're like, oh, I just need to put on 1.5 pounds a week. And they're like, the scale's going up And they are getting bigger, but they're getting softer too, but they're like happy because the scale is going up and they know that they're getting bigger, but they can't really, like, you can't really decipher between how much of that's muscle and how much of that is fat. And as they start doing it, they're just, they end up, you know, 16 weeks, 12 weeks of this bulking cycle, and they go through it and they're like, okay, I'm up whatever 15 pounds. And they'll even post pictures on like Instagram, like, I'm gaining 20 pounds of my off season, gaining 20 pounds of muscle, like all this stuff. And I'm like, no, you don't gain 20 pounds of muscle in an off season like that. If you're lucky, if you worked for, let's say 16 weeks and you're lucky, like, and you're a 5 foot bikini competitor, and you're probably going to be like crushing it. If you had like 3 pounds of skeletal muscle, if you added that, that would be crushing it. That you'd be doing really, really good. Cause that would mean in a year you'd put on like 8 pounds, 7 pounds of pure lean mass. So if you're an advanced person, like, sorry, you're not gonna put on that much muscle where you can gain 1 pound a week and that all be muscle. It just doesn't work that way. Like, look at, and for example, like, look at like the top bodybuilders in the world and how much weight they gain year over year. Nobody works harder than these guys year over year. You know, they do everything possible to gain as much weight as they can using all the science available to them. And they might be on stage the next year like 3 pounds heavier. And it's like, whoa, he's so much bigger. He looks crazy this year. Mm-hmm. And like, and then you have a bikini competitor who's 5 foot nothing, putting 20 pounds on in a 16-week period trying to make sense of it. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, no, that doesn't make sense. Look at all these guys who put on, you know, 5 pounds. So it's hard to say exactly how much muscle you can gain in a year. There has been some like estimates on that. They say a first year, this is what I've seen, and I don't really understand how they came up with this data. It was just kind of I guess it was kind of like someone who has a lot of experience kind of talked about it, and this is what I got from him. And he was saying that a female would gain around 12 to 15 pounds of quality lean mass if they were natural their very first year. So that'd be about 1 pound of lean mass per month. After the second year, it would go down to about 6 pounds, about half that. After you go through and you start gaining all this muscle, your body seems to just stop putting it on so easily. And so they kind of recognize that, and they said it's about half that. And then every year after that, after your workout age gets past 2 years, it's about 3 to 6 pounds of lean mass. So your first year, you should be able to make the most progress possible because it's new to the body. Your body has to adapt to it severely. And then after that, body's kind of getting used to it, and you don't get, you know, you're not going to be putting on that much muscle. Because if you think about that, if someone were working out for 10 years and they're able to put on, you know, 12 pounds every year, well, they'd have 120 more pounds of muscle at the end of that 10 years. And that'd be, you don't see anyone walking around like that, you know? So that's the thing. Be smart about how you gain. More fat will never equal more muscle. And go for little gains, you know, little gains.
That's a great t-shirt.
Little gains. Little gains. Yeah. Like if you're a bikini competitor and you're small, you know, one of the things I would say is always measure your waistline. Measuring your waistline is a huge indicator of like what your body fat is and how much body fat you're gaining. You know, measure your hips. The hard part about measuring hips as a bikini competitor when you're trying to grow is that you store fat there, but then you're also trying to grow muscle there. So that one becomes a little bit harder to kind of decipher, is that fat or is it muscle that I'm gaining? But if your hips are growing and your waistline is staying the same for the most part, you're probably doing a pretty decent job. But if your hips are growing every week and your waistline is growing every week, well then you're gaining unnecessary body fat that's not helping you gain muscle. Mm-hmm. So I would assess that, maybe lower the calories or increase cardio a little bit or mm-hmm. whatever the case may be.
Question real quick, because I think this is a very popular question. So the saying, like, when you lose body fat, you also lose muscle. Is this true or is this false?
So it's true and false, and it depends on how you say it, which is kind of funny, right? Mm-hmm. And this is up. So now lean mass is anything in your body that's lean. And then body fat is anything in your body that's fat. So if you think about anything that's lean in your body, like what's lean in your body? Your bones, your blood, your water, your mm-hmm. muscle, right? But everyone says lean mass.
As if it's right? just muscle,
As right? if it's just skeletal muscle, right?
Got it.
So no matter what, when you lose body fat, there is zero chance of you keeping 100% of your lean mass, okay? Because body fat itself is is hydrated, right? It has its hydrated adipose tissue. So it has water associated with it. So you can't like keep that water and then lose the fat. You lose both because it's less. Now, after time, if you have, let's say you had someone who's really big and they had a lot of body fat. Well, more body fat means more blood needs to pump more nutrients to it. So you will generally have even a little bit more blood volume when you have more like fat and more, more volume in your body is always going to equal more volume of blood too. So your body will naturally decrease that too. Mm-hmm. Like the fluids and the fluid that's in your body and whatnot too. So you're going to lose lean mass from that. You're not going to lose any bones, of course, but you lose lean mass from different ways. Now, will you lose skeletal muscle when you diet? It depends on how severely you diet, but it's generally not a lot. Now, if you're dieting severely, then yes, you could lose a lot of muscle. If you're doing a lot of cardio, where you're doing endurance-based cardio for hours on end, like we talk about the people who do over an hour of cardio a day. When you do over an hour of cardio a day, you're doing endurance-type activity. Anytime you do any activity that does not equal you building more muscle for long periods of time, you're going to start kind of changing to that body type. So if you do endurance-based activities, you're going to change to an endurance-based body type. So, for example, if you run marathons, you're going to turn into more of a marathon runner body type. Same thing with doing cardio for very long periods of time, you turn into more of a marathon body type. So the problem is that people will look at like these extreme bodybuilders and they'll kind of mimic them and say, oh, I'm going to do a lot of cardio just like this bodybuilder does. Well, you got to understand like that bodybuilder is probably taking a lot of things to make sure he never won't lose any muscle no matter what he does, because he's taking things to make him basically superhuman. And if you're not, you're not going to get the same result. So that's something you got to also take into account too. So your cardio method matters, how severely you diet matters, how intense you're still able to train towards the end of your diet matters, which is probably like the biggest factor, like your workout intensity.
Oh yeah, because less calories probably means like less energy and...
Less energy, yeah. Less strength. Yeah, and so as a good rule of thumb, they say for every pound you lose, if you're having a successful prep, about 20% of that is of lean mass. So, every pound you lose, 0.8 is body fat, and the rest is going to be like, you know, all the lean mass stuff, the water retention, the even being less like even having less carbs in your system because you're a little depleted. Mm-hmm. That's less water retention. That's less lean mass too. Hmm. So, how much of that is muscle and how much of that is actual like lean mass? I imagine if it's 20% total lean mass, I imagine it's probably like 10% skeletal muscle or even less. You know, it's if you're working out hard, I don't think it's going to be that much. It's just you look so much smaller when you're like prepped out, you know.
Yeah,
like
true.
It's just people get so small when they're prepped. It's like their weight gets crazy, like it's they're so light and they just feel like they lost a ton of muscle. Mm-hmm. But really there's a lot of things that you're losing, and the water alone is one of the bigger things,
right? So kind of like once you get back to normal, it kind of comes back, so it's not necessarily lost and gone forever.
Yeah, correct. Yeah.
Okay.
And especially like after a show, like when you fill out after a show, which we talk about is like some of that weight gain that we were talking about, like what is the weight gain?
Mm-hmm.
Well, a lot of it's just you filling out and, you know, your body replenishing its glucose stores and it's storing basically, and glucose stores is basically glycogen that's stored in the muscle, which is basically carbohydrates stored as basically storing carbs in the muscle, if you want to make it really simple. And, you know, that has weight to it too. You're going to fill out a little bit more after a show, you know, within a few pounds after a show, and some people even more than that. So likely it's not body fat. So
very informative. Thank you. That even cleared up some of the questions I had as well. And I think I, you know, probably know more than most competitors. I don't know most, you know, most. I know more than most competitors, I think, just because I've been around for a while and I'm pretty seasoned at this. But yeah, I learned a lot today in this podcast. Well, actually.
Good. Hopefully I said everything right. I'm pretty low on energy. And we're both like...
We're like
Olympia recovering right now.
Yeah, you know what? We call this the post-show hangover.
Yeah.
And we don't drink. It's not alcohol hangover. It's like a hangover of like emotions, sleep, spray tan, probably like just all that. Just like a busy day full of like excitement and yeah, maybe a small amount of like I don't know. It could be jet lag, but We didn't fly, but usually if we fly
it
somewhere.
It feels like jet lag.
Yeah. It feels like jet lag. So we call it the post-show hangover.
Yeah. So with that and our hangovers.
Without alcohol.
Without alcohol. Yeah, I don't drink. Just so you guys know, I actually don't drink. It's a crazy fact about me. I've been drunk twice in my life. So isn't that crazy? That's kind of funny. So I just hate it. I don't hate the way it tastes. So with that, guys, we will sign off. Thank you so much for listening and for following us this year too.
Yes.
That's been really, really fun. We had so much positive feedback at the Olympia, of people who were like, oh, we watched this or we learned this or we tried your workout here. And it was like so cool to see, like, and it's definitely like a strange and overwhelming
feeling. Yeah, it's like, kind of, you know, you get the messages, right? You get the messages on social media that they listen to the podcast or they watch our YouTube videos, but to like have that many people come up in person and be like referencing an exact thing we said in what podcast or they saw this in that exact video, it's kind of cool. It's like, wow, you remembered. Like, that's awesome.
Yeah.
It's really...
I've always like... to me, it's like, man, that's... like, it's still, like, overwhelming and a little bit, like, I don't want to say weird because it's not weird when someone comes up to me, but it's just, like, you're investing your time, like, that's your time and you're giving it, like, to me. Like, you're giving it to our voice and it's, like, just so you guys know, like, I really appreciate it. I don't take it for granted. So we're always going to try to put out, like, useful stuff because your time is super valuable and your guys are super valuable to us.
Yeah, so. And I'm just going to say something real quick, too, because you don't even know this yet. At the booth, like, when I was working the booth at High Tech, when you left... do you know how many times I got asked, where's Adam? Is Adam with you? Is he here? He's not here right now? Where's he at? And I'm like, oh, he's walking around somewhere. It's like you left for like maybe, I want to say like an hour, and people were asking where you are. It's so funny that they associate us together and like, oh, yeah, he's got to be with her somewhere, you know? So I just think that's kind of funny.
And when I walk around, they do the same thing.
It's so gosh.
Or even at the, what's funny too is like people come into the studio and like, oh, I was hoping like they'll just stop in. They'll be like working out, like stopping through Denver or whatever. And they're like, hey, can I work out there? And I'm like, yeah, come on in. And then they're about finished with their workout. And they'll be like, hey, I was wondering, what time is Ashley going to be stopping in today?
Oh,
I was
going to see her before she was. She lives in Los Angeles.
I was like, she's not, she doesn't live here. It's so funny.
That's
funny. So anyway, guys, so thanks so much again.
Thank you.
We're going to have another awesome season. This girl's got a lot of gas left in the tank.
Yes, I might do another show, maybe. We'll see. I was going to see how, like, you know, the rest of the week kind of felt after my mini break, and then maybe go from there. I do say, though, whenever I do prep for a show, I usually like to do maybe another one. I don't want to do just one show and then call it quits. I usually like to do a few just because I'm already in shape, but I don't know. We'll kind of play it by ear. I'm not going to go crazy with the food or anything this week. Like I said, you guys know I'm not. So we'll see. We'll see how I feel.
All right. And with that, guys, thanks so much.
Thank you.
We'll
bye.
Talk to you next time.